Today is the seventh Sunday after Trinity Sunday, and the Gospel for today is from St. Matthew's Gospel, the fifth chapter, beginning with the 20th verse. For I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. You have heard that it was said to those of old, You shall not murder, and whoever murders will be in danger of the judgment. But I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whoever says to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whoever says, You fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Agree with your adversary quickly while you are on the way with him, lest your adversary deliver you to the judge, and the judge hand you over to the officer, and you be thrown into prison. Assuredly, I say to you, you will by no means get out of there till you have paid the last penny. This is the Gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and from Jesus Christ, his Son, our Savior. Amen. The words of our Lord Jesus Christ, which we are focusing on today, were, if anything, even more shocking in the first century than they are today. The Pharisees were known by everyone to be the pious of the pious. They could be seen praying in the marketplaces. They were the teachers of Israel. They were, as Jesus says, sitting in Moses' seat. The Pharisee, with his seemingly meticulous observance of the minutiae of the law, was probably seen by the average Hebrew as the model. I suspect that many of the men in the street in Jerusalem would have confidently declared that they expected the Pharisees would be in heaven. Sinful men imagined that the Pharisees would be good enough. In the Sermon on the Mount, however, Jesus teaches something quite different. Rather than the Pharisees being the model for attainment of sufficient righteousness, Jesus declares, For I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. A righteousness which exceeds the righteousness of the Pharisees. Here is an attainment which is beyond sinful man. But thanks be to God, the Lord credits such righteousness to us for Christ's sake. Christ's righteousness is credited to us so that our righteousness exceeds that of the Pharisees. Prior to the words of the Gospel reading, Jesus told the multitudes, Do not think that I came to destroy the law of the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. In the Old Testament reading, we hear the succinct summary of the law in the Ten Commandments. The law of God is certainly not abolished. As St. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 7, What shall we say then? Is the law sin? Certainly not. On the contrary, I would not have known sin except through the law. For I would not have known covetousness unless the law had said, You shall not covet. But sin, taking opportunity by the commandment, produced in me all manner of evil desire. For apart from the law, sin was dead. Thus we see that the law of God is good, but the perversity of man's heart is so great that when we hear the commandment of the law, sin rises up within us and desires to do that which is forbidden precisely because it is forbidden. In society, it is only the fear of punishment which stays the hands of the wicked. As it is, men still find many opportunities to take opportunity by the commandment. It is shocking how many ways people will seek out ways to defraud or injure others, or how they will learn to profit from the moral or physical destruction of another person. As desperately wicked as people have become, they would be even worse if they were not restrained by the authorities. Thus we read in Romans chapter 13, For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For he is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. God approves of the authorities punishing evildoers. In fact, he holds them accountable to do so. But if our hearts are so desperately wicked, how shall our righteousness exceed that of the Pharisees? Can you or I look within our hearts and say that we are more perfectly keeping the Ten Commandments than they did? The frightening thing is that there are many who consider themselves Christians who seem to care little about whether they keep the Ten Commandments or not. They seem to think of God as some sort of indulgent parent who makes rules, but then only smiles as the children break them. They believe that when it comes right down to it, well, God won't judge them. Hell, they think, is for really, really bad people, as determined by us, not God. And by definition, they think that they aren't one of those people. This mentality is, I believe, at the heart of what St. James is addressing in his epistle when he observes that faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. In such people, they confuse faith with the belief that the historical record is true. It is not the God-given faith which changes the heart, but rather they have a mere assent to the factual nature of Scripture. As St. James declares, "You believe that there is one God. You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead?" And St. Paul concurs regarding those who will not turn from sin, who will not repent. For he writes in Romans chapter 6, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it?" As our Lord says in Luke chapter 6, "For a good tree does not bear bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. For every tree is known by its own fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they gather grapes from a bramble bush. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaks." But perhaps someone thinks, "Well, beginning today I will try harder than the Pharisees ever did. I will work from this moment onward to exceed their righteousness and become perfect." Solomon teaches in God's Word, "For there is not a just man on earth who does good and does not sin." And again St. James declares, "For whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point, he is guilty of all." The law demands perfect righteousness, righteousness which exceeds that of the Pharisees. Any violation of God's perfect law brings down guilt for violation of the whole law. And we know that all of mankind, except Jesus Christ, is filled with sin. So if we are to depend on a righteousness from within ourselves, we are doomed. If we disregard the law and treat it as if it were nothing and return to the way of willful sin, we are lost. If we are to be saved, we need a righteousness which is greater than anything we can do. All the righteousness of sinful man is fatally flawed by sin. The actions of one may seem more righteous than the actions of another person, but before God, both are by nature sinful and unclean. There is only one righteousness which exceeds that of the Pharisees, and that is the righteousness of God. It is as St. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 1, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith." The gospel of Christ tells us that the only one among men who is without sin, that is Jesus Christ, who is both God and man, came and suffered and died in the place of sinners. The wages of sin is death, but Jesus had no sin, and so death, by right, had no claim on him. But Jesus willingly chose to suffer and die for us, to be the one sacrifice that would pay for sin, so that all who repent of sin and believe in him receive the forgiveness of sins. We do not gain this forgiveness because we've worked hard enough, but because we believe. The just shall live by faith. If we will not repent, if we cling to sin and will not struggle against sin by the help of the Holy Spirit, then we do not believe and will be lost. But when we hear the word of the promise, that powerful Word of God promising the forgiveness of sins for those who believe. The Holy Spirit works in our hearts so that we hate sin and desire God's mercy for Christ's sake, and believing in Him, receive that forgiveness. Christ's righteousness is credited to us, so that our righteousness exceeds that of the Pharisees. The epistle for today speaks so beautifully of how baptism conveys that righteousness to us. As St. Paul declares, "Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? Therefore we were buried with Him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." The benefits of Christ's death for us become ours when we are baptized into Christ and believe in Him. As Christ Jesus was raised from the dead on the third day, so we are now alive in Him and walk in newness of life. For the Christian, we do those things which are pleasing in God's sight, not because we fear punishment, but because we know that good works are pleasing to God. The good tree bears good fruit. In John chapter 6 we read, "Then they said to Him, 'What shall we do that we may work the works of God?' Jesus answered and said to them, 'This is the work of God, that you believe in Him whom He sent.'" God creates faith in us, and that faith bears good fruit in our lives. St. Paul writes, "For the death that he died to sin once for all, but the life that he lives to God. Likewise you also, reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord." We are now freed to live for Him, then, as children doing those things which please their Heavenly Father, as a reflection of the love which He has already bestowed upon us. We pray to our Father that He would continue to strengthen and nourish our faith, so that temptation does not lead us away. The Holy Ghost continues to strengthen us as we hear the Word and come to the Lord's Supper. As often as we hear the Word of Absolution, we know that Jesus has forgiven our sins. As often as we eat Christ's body and drink His blood, believing the words of the promise, we receive the forgiveness of sins, life and salvation. For where there is forgiveness of sins, there is also life and salvation. May our Lord strengthen our faith and guide our thoughts, words, and deeds unto life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray. Lord of all power and might, who art the author and giver of all good things, graft in our hearts the love of Thy name, increase in us true religion, nourish us with all goodness, and of Thy great mercy keep us in the same. Through Jesus Christ, Thy Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with Thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen. The people of Salem Lutheran Church invite you to visit them today for the 10:30 a.m. worship service. Sunday school is available for all ages at 9:30 a.m. Salem is located approximately 2 miles north of Malone, off of FM 308. From July 11th through 15th, Salem will be having its Summer Vacation Bible School, and it will be each evening, Monday through Friday, from 6:30 until 8:30 p.m. We invite all children through age 14 to join us for Vacation Bible School. There is no charge for the Vacation Bible School, though those who wish to contribute to a mission offering will have an opportunity to do so. For more information on Salem Lutheran Church, you may call us at 533-2330 or visit us on the internet at www.salemlutheranchurch.net. This broadcast is made possible through the generous support of the Salem Lutheran Women's Guild and the Salem Lutheran Men's Fellowship.